nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
George Hegel said, "We may affirm absolutely that nothing great in the world has ever been accomplished without passion." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are three guests who have passion. Our first playmaker is the Dallas CEO of a bank that manages 1,300-plus employees in the Dallas region, while our next playmakers are with a 100-plus-year organization that uses the world's most common building material. With us today is a Dallas CEO of the fourth largest bank in Texas, while our next guests are president and immediate past chairman of an organization involved with concrete pipe. These great playmakers are Key Coker. Key is Dallas CEO of BBVA Compass, and Matt Childs, president, and Rick Traylor, immediate past chairman of the American Concrete Pipe Association. And we're going to begin today's show with Matt and Rick. Now, the American Concrete Pipe Association is a spokesperson for the concrete pipe industry. ACPA members contribute to the improvement of the environment by producing quality concrete pipe engineered to provide a lasting and economical solution to drainage and pollution problems. Matt Childs has served as the president for the American Concrete Pipe Association for 9 years. He's a registered professional engineer in the state of Texas whose family has worked in the concrete pipe industry for over 80 years. Rick Traylor is immediate past chairman of the American Concrete Pipe Association and Rinker Materials vice president for technical services, and he's been with Rinker Materials for 25 years. Well, Matt, Rick, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
Well, Matt, I want to start with you. Let people know, because I'm sure most people are not aware of the American Concrete Pipe Association. You've been around for around 100 years or so. Tell us what you do.
Well, thank you, Steve. We are the Concrete Pipe Association. We are the trade association for the entire concrete pipe industry, typically the United States, but we also have members all over the world. And what we do is we represent the concrete pipe industry. We have over 300 plants that make concrete pipe in the United States, and the ACPA does training for those companies. We train the members in engineering, marketing, sales, and then we also represent the industry to departments of transportation around the country as well as to Washington.
Well, most people have not heard of the ACPA, but we were talking before the show started. When you drive down the road, you probably see the results of the ACPA. So, Rick, concrete is, as I mentioned at the very beginning, one of the more basic materials for building. It's been around for a long time. We see it everywhere. So what industries do you supply to primarily?
Steve, we supply to most industries that are involved in any type of construction. One of our major customers throughout the country is departments of transportation for the states. We also supply to the construction industry involved with commercial and residential construction.
Well, we've been talking about this, and you see a lot of concrete pipe on the road. But the organization is, I guess, about 101 years old. It started, 1907. It started as the Interstate Cement Tile Manufacturers Association, Ames, Iowa. Well, you've come a long way from that, Mick. Matt, you're shaking your head. How was that developed back when cars really were starting?
You know, that's interesting, Steve, because concrete pipe has been used back as far as the Romans. The Romans used concrete pipe in building the aqueducts, and that has progressed to any type of road. So when they were using horse and buggy, they used concrete pipe. They also used it for sanitary sewers, for keeping the cities clean, which helped with sanitation and preventing illness due to, you know, the problems of sewage running through the streets. Since then, with the interstate highway system, our organization is about 107 years old now, and that we've really grown with the interstate highway system, and you'll see the fact that so many of our highways now are very old. They still have that original concrete pipe underneath the roadways, so we've really grown with the. No, it hasn't. The concrete pipe is still there. Our service life is 100 years. So the interstate highway system was built in the 50s. up until the 70s and 80s, and you still have our pipe underneath the ground.
Yeah, most people don't realize that President Eisenhower is the one that got that going. So it'll be around for a little while. I guess the good news is it's going to be around for a long time. The bad news is it doesn't. You don't turn it as quick as you want to. For both of you, the concrete pipe industry has a huge stake in federal highway policy. You were talking a little bit about that. What are your feelings about the bill currently pending in Congress? And talk a little bit about that.
Well, we're certainly interested in a new transportation bill. The one that's in Congress now has been extended for a number of times, I think about six times over the last 3 years. We would love to see a new bill put in place that would adequately fund the repair and reconstruction of the infrastructure that we all know is in bad need of some more time and repair. So we would support, and I think Matt would agree, a new bill to be passed and put into place. Would like to see that or think that that was a little bit more probable than it is, but we are certainly pushing Congress to do just that.
Well, it's interesting as you drive down the road, you see semis or large trucks with a great big pipe on their back, and then you see it laid across the highways as they're redoing everything. It's everywhere, but people don't really pay attention to it. And concrete pipe is really no different than other industries. You have a lot of competitors in what you do. You're really a commodity business is what you are. What are the main differences between the products that you and your association members produce and alternatives, and are there alternatives?
Yeah, there are alternatives, and the main difference between using a concrete pipe and, say, either a metal pipe or a plastic pipe is the length of service life. So you can really look at it in two different ways. You have service life and you have resiliency. Service life is just really how durable the product is. Concrete pipe, we know it's been in the ground for over 100 years. We know under normal circumstances it will last that long. Our competitors, metal and steel, metal rusts, plastic pipe will crack
over time
and fail. So those you're looking at maybe 50 years. The Corps of Engineers gives a service life for those products of about 50 years.
You think about the extremes in temperature in many parts of the United States, especially here in Dallas, too, cold, hot. Does that impact those pipes at all, the concrete pipes?
The temperature differences don't impact concrete, but they certainly can impact some of the other alternative products. Some of the plastic materials are not as resilient to cold, for example. They become more brittle, make it more difficult for the contractors to handle them and install them properly. If there's a concern with temperature differences, concrete certainly gives you more flexibility in that regard.
Well, let's talk about the building of a road. Does that pipe go in first? And how is it involved as they're building that road?
Well, the pipe does typically go in first. When you think in terms of the infrastructure and what is the infrastructure built upon, you actually can say it literally is built upon concrete pipe. Reinforced concrete pipe is used as the drainage structures for highways, intersections, side drains, all types of drainage, which nowadays with the rain we're experiencing here in Texas, it's a not so gentle reminder of how important these products are. So we have a need to continue to use a product that has longevity. As Matt's mentioned, the service life of this product is much higher than most of its competitors. Since it is a foundational material, to get to that product and repair it should it fail usually means tearing up other parts of the roadway that's built on top of it. So it's important to keep in mind when you're putting the pipe in the ground, one of the first structures put in place, many of the other components are going to be built on top of it. So its performance is critical to the performance of the overall structure.
So you better get that right, otherwise they're tearing up the roads. Matter of fact, you can drive down, especially I saw it today on Highway 35 with the potholes because of the temperature. That's not concrete. and the damage that that's causing to cars. We are speaking with Matt Childs. Matt is the president of the ACPA, and Rick Traylor, he is the immediate past chairman. Their website is concrete-pipe.org if you want to find out more about the ACPA. Well, we were talking about the roads, and we see the pipe lined up alongside the roadways getting to be installed. That's got to be a massive job. And is it real complex to get that pipe in the ground so they can build those roadways?
Well, I think it is. And on the surface, a lot of times, it doesn't look like it would be that difficult. You know, the average person would drive by and say, how come that pipe hasn't been installed yet? When actually you look at a day like today with all the rain we've had, you dig a trench and you have to dewater it, make sure there's not a lot of water in there, make sure all the line and grade is perfect, and then put the pipe in the ground and then install the soil around the pipe and the backfill around the pipe. One good thing about concrete pipe is it doesn't take as special a soil to be installed around there because the concrete pipe is the structure and it brings the strength to the job. Other materials, you have to build a structure around that pipe. But there are a lot of complications that go into building any project, particularly those that are underground, especially the dewatering, and then also you never know what you're going to find under there, too.
So you're working pretty close. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to add to that, that the concrete, because of what the points Matt just made, makes the installation much more forgiving, much less difficult for the contractor to install concrete than it is the flexible products, which are very, very dependent upon proper side soil compaction so that the load is transferred into that soil. So as Matt said, the concrete strength comes with the product as opposed to being so dependent on the installer and the installation.
So is concrete pipe all your members do, or do they do other things besides just concrete pipe?
Yeah, a lot of our members make other products, typically out of concrete, called precast concrete. Another big product is box culverts, which are basically a square or rectangular pipe. So many of our members make pipe, and they'll make different shapes of pipe. They'll make round pipe, elliptical pipe, arch pipe, and then square or rectangular pipe, which is box culverts.
Well, tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about the ACPA, which is the American Concrete Pipe Association.
They can go to the American Concrete Pipe Association website at concrete-pipe.org.
The American Concrete Pipe Association, and we've just had both Matt Childs, who is the president of the ACPA, and Rick Traylor, who is with Rinker Materials, but is the ACPA immediate past chairman. Well, gentlemen, Matt, Rick, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure.
Again, you can go to check the ACPA out at concretepipe.org. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to speak to the Dallas CEO of the fourth largest bank in Texas, that is BBVA Compass. His name is Key Coker, and we're going to speak with Key right after this.
Family Wellness Dallas is offering a Safe Conversations workshop on Saturday, June 6th at the Concord Street Church of Dallas. This full-day program teaches relationship and communication skills to couples and children alike. Child care is free. The workshop shows participants how to take turns talking and listening, giving daily appreciations, and encourages participants to take a zero negativity pledge, which helps families build healthy communication. This no-cost workshop is June 6th from 8:30 to 5 at the Concord Church of Dallas. Go to familywellnessdallas.org for more information and registration.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk about banking. We have the Dallas CEO of BBVA Compass. His name is Key Coker. And he was promoted to Dallas CEO earlier this year. He formerly served as Dallas City President of BBVA Compass. He's worked for them for more than 12 years and has a total of 35 years of banking experience. Headquartered in Birmingham, Alabama, BBVA is the fourth largest bank in Texas and has a leading U.S. banking franchise with operations throughout the Sun Belt region, and it ranks as the 15th largest U.S. commercial bank based on deposit market share. Well, Key, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, my first question to you is, how does a Pittsburgh, Texas native end up in banking and the Dallas CEO of BBVA Compass?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I was very fortunate to grow up in the great town of Pittsburgh, Texas. It's about a two-hour drive northeast of Dallas. I attended the University of Texas in Austin. It was a great experience. I have an older brother and younger sister. We were all three there at the same time. And then after graduation, I received a degree in finance with a concentration in real estate. I moved to Dallas. I took a job with a local bank, and 35 years later, I'm still in the banking industry.
So the bank you were with has continually merged with other banks.
Correct.
So you've only been I read something in the Dallas Business Journal about you being in the same building. Was that it? And just moved offices around?
Well, that's a great question. Yes. Actually, we office at Cruthaven and Central, and that's where our Dallas headquarters is located. I've been with BBVA Compass and predecessor banks for 26 years now, with Cornerstone Bank, which sold to Compass, and then Compass sold to BBVA. And over that 26 years, I have moved offices on the second floor of our building. I think I'm in my sixth office now.
In the same building.
In the same building, right. Right. So it's a creature of habit when I start to drive to work in the mornings.
So the name on your business card has changed in terms of the company, but you've been the same building, same address.
Correct. Very fortunate. It's a great location.
Well, you were president, Dallas City president for a while. Now you're a CEO. What's your role at BBVA as Dallas CEO?
Well, as you mentioned, the transformation, it took place and it was U.S.-wide. It was November of 2014. And in my previous role as city president, I primarily focused on the bank's commercial operations here in Dallas. But as part of a broader reorganization, which we announced back in November, I now have responsibility for the retail, the wealth management, and the commercial lines of business. We've formulated that into one reporting channel.
So you are now in charge of, 1,300 plus people in the Dallas region. Where are you going from here? BBVA, we were talking about 2009 is when BBVA came in and took over the bank, one of the banks that I'm with, and I'm with BBVA Compass.
Thank you.
We talked about.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
your support.
So what are your goals as a new CEO? Where do you want to take BBVA Compass in Texas?
Well, I will continue to focus on overseeing the transition of the new combined, what we refer to as consumer and commercial bank. It's designed to provide a more comprehensive customer service experience while, of course, increasing productivity. Our bank's emphasis on local market leadership also means greater accountability in meeting the needs of the communities we serve.
Well, I've been doing the show for a while. I've had a number of bank CEOs on the show, and there's a lot of companies moving into Dallas, seeing as how great this area is in North Texas, especially with companies moving in from out of town and the growth of Dallas-Fort Worth. What kind of competition are you dealing with, and then how are you dealing with that competition?
Well, competition, obviously, in any industry in Dallas, Texas, is robust. And there's certainly no lack of banking competition out there. We are attempting to differentiate, through our level of customer service. You know, the government does regulate us very much, and yet they don't dictate the level of service you have to provide to your client. And that's an area that our company and our great teammates are focused heavily upon.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because years ago with banking, it was all location, location, location. Now it's location, internet, because you can do banking. I was telling you that all I do is I type a B in my computer and it shows up BBVA Compass because I go to your site so often. But you've also had a recent digital related acquisition. Talk about that, because I think you gained about 100,000 customers, and it's called Simple. Is that correct?
It is. That's exactly right. And if I might, let me just share with you a little bit of our thoughts on the industry, because As an industry, banking has been slow to adapt to digital, and now newcomers are disrupting the industry. Rather than identify these disruptors as a threat, BBVA Compass seeks to collaborate with them, ultimately furthering our own digital transformation. Now, the acquisition you referred to is Simple. Simple is a total digital bank. With that acquisition, we picked up 100,000 new clients.
So that was just an internet bank.
That was an internet bank. And we made that acquisition in February of 2014, and they have no branches.
So how is that helping BBVA Compass in the North Texas region?
Well, it's giving us insight as a company into what we see as a transformation of our industry. We are morphing into a digital bank. We see that as the future of banking in the United States.
Well, you mentioned customer service, and I'm a big believer that most companies out there are commodities. Everybody sells the same thing. You take a look at banks. You have money. You have interest rates. All going to be pretty close, but it really comes down, as you mentioned, customer service. That's the most important part. How is that going to impact with the internet and your purchase of Simple?
Well, you know, that's a great question because obviously we're not going to be moving away from our branch network. We may be morphing that a little bit because with some of the Simple transactions, we're going to try to align our clients with doing that on a more digital basis. However, for more complex transactions, loans, and things of that nature, then they will certainly have the opportunity to come into our branches and transact with an individual.
You know, we were talking earlier before the show started about the history of BBVA Compass, and most people don't know, and I certainly didn't until I started doing research, that this is a 150-year-old company.
That is correct.
Talk a little bit about the background of BBVA.
Well, thank you. I'll be glad to. We're very fortunate that our company has tremendous longevity. It was started in 1857, so, well, as you mentioned, 150 years ago. And we are now up over $800 billion in assets. We have offices in over 30 countries around the world. So we truly are a global bank. You've probably seen some of our recent advertising. We use the tagline Glocal, where we have a global bank with a local feel.
And that's really what it is because you're Dallas CEO, so it's the local piece that you're taking care of.
That is correct. And we're trying to present the bank on a unified front. You know, historically, we've had this three different lines of business, commercial, wealth management, and retail. And now the team leaders for all of our Dallas teams formulate the leadership team of Dallas. And it's my responsibility to make sure they're presenting this unified face to our clients.
So apparently BBVA, which is, I mentioned, headquartered in Birmingham, Alabama, has local CEOs around the country. Is that correct?
That is correct. I have peers in the major markets around the United States.
So as a result, since you are a Texas native, you are bringing the Texas culture to the North Texas area or to the entire state.
Correct. We have about 58% of our U.S. assets are in the state of Texas. A majority of that is split between Dallas and Houston, the two largest markets in our U.S. footprint.
Well, that says a lot for BBVA Compass, especially here in Texas, on having that much in the United States. Well, you also have something which is bringing a little bit of Europe to the United States, Bitcoin and Coinbase.
Right.
Talk about that and where that is going, as a lot of people are really confused about all that.
Well, and, you know, understandably so, because it is obviously a new technology that's coming about. You might call it a little bit of a toe in the water, our investment in Coinbase. And, you know, that's going to give us a little bit of an opportunity to look behind the curtain and see where this goes. Is it the future of banking? We're not sure. But it's an opportunity for us to learn more about it through this investment.
And we're speaking with Key Coker. Key is the Dallas CEO of BBVA Compass, and you can check BBVA Compass at bbvacompass.com, and all the information is there. Well, you've been Dallas CEO, since the beginning of the year.
Correct.
You've been with the company for 26 years and banking for 35 years. Where is banking going? I mean, it's very competitive, and a lot of things we talked about are changing. What's the future of banking, especially here in Texas?
Well, I believe our company also thinks this way, that we're going to see the banking industry changing, and we feel like we're on the cutting edge of that change, becoming more digital. You know, in this day and time, everyone has the products and services in their pocket in the form of their phone. And I joke with our board of directors on a regular basis that even though we have a branch downstairs, I seldom go down there anymore because I can do most all the transactions with my phone. And I love to pay our babysitter. We still have young children at home. So when I pull up to the garage and old honk, she's been there, I'll pop in the amount of money, walk in the door. She goes, thanks, Mr. Coker, and out the front door she goes. So I love the technology. I think it's fantastic.
So this is where we're going with as well. You have, as I mentioned, been in the banking business for 36 years. You've worked with a number of people. Have there been any mentors that really had an impact on you that helped you get to where you are right now?
I have numerous mentors. Most of those have been my former bosses. I'm very fortunate that I have a great relationship with not only my current supervisor, but all those that I've worked with in the past as well. And one of those, his name is George Sherling. George retired several years ago after a long career at BBVA Compass. He moved back to Alabama where he has family. But George was very wise in his advice to me, always reassuring me that, Key, you need to inspect what you expect. And that's not a micromanagement, but it's just simply checking back with the people, letting them know what's important to you and helping drive that direction.
Well, aside from that, because that's a tremendous insight that he helped you with, this is Playmaker's Talk Show, and Playmaker is somebody that makes something happen. But were there any playmaking moves in your career that got you to where you are right now?
You know, I don't think there's any one thing that stands out, Steve. I think fortitude, sticking with it. You know, all too often I will see people in various industries that are attempting to do things that really are against the grain. And so I think the one factor that has helped in my career is I would figure out the way the wind's blowing, the way our company is going, and then I head in that direction.
Well, Key, it's been great talking and hearing about BBVA Compass. And again, tell everybody where they can find out more about the bank.
BBVA Compass, yes. Just simply Google, go to our website. You can plug in BBVA Compass, and it'll take you to a plethora of information on our company.
Everything you want to know about BBVA Compass. Well, Keith, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, thank you very, very much.
Keith Coker is the Dallas CEO of BBVA Compass. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been a terrific show. It's been great having our three guests on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.